Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The only daily Premier League podcast. This is Football Social Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's edition of the Football Social Daily. The Premier League season is powering on and here at FSD we are matching them stride for stride all the way as we go into the final crunch few weeks of the campaign. Midweek action is the big focus in the next few days with business at the top and bottom end of the Premier League table. And it's the title race where we find ourselves right the way back this week. Liverpool and Man City are looking to keep up the pressure on each other in what could be an interesting final fortnight. The Reds are back in action tonight. Jurgen Klopp's side head off to Aston Villa as they look to keep up the pressure on City and rein in Pep Guardiola's title defence. Alongside that, we've also got the latest chapter in Pep and Jurgen's tiff, as Guardiola has made the slightly unusual claim that the country is united in their desire to see the title back at Anfield this summer. And then to wrap it up, we'll be keeping the focus on Man City and talking about Erling Haaland's mega money move to Manchester. So, plenty to get through. My name's Fergal Brennan, and in the spirit of two heavyweights going head to head, we've rolled in the big guns on Tuesday. Niall McCorn. Niall, how are we doing?
I'm very good. I don't know if I object to being called a heavyweight or not, because I know I've put on a bit of weight lately, but I'm firmly in the cruiserweight category, I'd say.
Okay, fair enough. Someone who's never afraid to swing a few digs on a midweek podcast. Definitely a heavyweight of opinion. We have Marley Anderson. Marley, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that intro. It's not the worst I've ever had. So, yeah, I'm also piling on the pounds of ready for. I'm going on my honeymoon in a month, so I'll be trying to trim down before then. But considering I've done about 15 years of not losing any weight ever, so I'm not exactly holding out much hope for that. So if you see a fat guy on the beaches of Zante in a month's time, that'll be me.
Fair enough. I think we've all been surviving on a fairly solid biscuit-based diet for the last 12 months, but you know we can work our way out of it. Pre-season will be coming up, so we can get stuck into that.
Right. Every podcast we've ever done, honest to God, I've just finished at least four custard creams before we started. Like if I rustle the packet, this is like you can hear it now. Watch. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
There you go.
Evidence. Evidence.
Solid rustle.
There's my custard creams. Yeah, yeah.
It's the perfect thing to get your voice ready. Forget about honey and lemon. Custard cream, you know, soothes the throat and gets you ready for some hot takes on the Premier League. Right, so we are going to get stuck into tonight's game. Niall, going to go to you first on this one. Aston Villa against Liverpool, obviously within the context of the Premier League title race. The title picture is unlikely to change tonight, even if Liverpool do win away at Aston Villa. They trail City by 3 points as it stands, but also, most importantly, 4 goals difference in the goal difference column. And a win for Liverpool tonight, you would expect, should be relatively straightforward. Manchester City back in action tomorrow will be looking to, you know, just turn back the clock and make it 3 points again. again. Is this it, effectively? We chatted about it over the weekend, and I'm sure everybody who watches Premier League football have been chatting about this, but I want to get your take on it. Is this the end now? Was that slip at Spurs the end for Liverpool, and they're now just concentrating on the FA Cup and the Champions League because Man City look home and dry?
Yeah, I don't think it's the end, Fergal. I certainly agree with what you say about Manchester City looking like they will be the ones that win the title. And I agree with that. I think Manchester City will. It certainly looks like that's going to be the case from where we are at the moment. With the table, City top, Liverpool second and 3 points back, as you mentioned. But I don't think it's out of the question that Liverpool could win tonight quite convincingly and put the pressure back on Manchester City. You say there's a four-goal swing. There's no doubt that Liverpool could beat Aston Villa 4-0 tonight. There's absolutely no question in my mind that that's a distinct possibility. If you look at Villa, they're 11th, 34 games played, 43 points, zero goal difference. They are the most middle-of-the-road team in the division this season. You can't really get any more bang average than Aston Villa. You know, the zero goal difference right in the middle of the rest of the teams around them, I think, cements that for me. So I'm sure Steven Gerrard will want to impress against a team which obviously he knows so well and he loves so much, but you know, he's the Aston Villa manager, and he'll want to really dent Liverpool's chances. Even though some people are suggesting, oh, Steven Gerrard's team might go easy tonight, I guarantee you they won't. But that being said, I do think that Liverpool are more than capable of beating Villa comfortably by 3-4 goals and closing that gap again. And that's all Liverpool can do, is put the pressure back on Manchester City. I think Jurgen Klopp is not the sort of character where he'd go, right, okay, that's done and dusted, lads, let's focus on the FA Cup and the Champions League. I don't think he's that sort of guy. And I think that with the way things have gone this season, you only need to look at the bottom end of the table with the relegation battle. Now, only 2 weeks ago, we were discussing on Football Social Daily what Burnley and Everton are going to do in the Championship next season. And now those two are both out of the relegation zone, and Leeds have dropped into it. Southampton on 40 points aren't out of the woods yet. So, you know, even though we're right at the end of the season and the home straight is in sight, I still think there's plenty of twists and turns yet. I agree with what you say. I think City will be the winners eventually of the Premier League title, but I wouldn't give up the ghost just yet if you're a Liverpool supporter.
Jurgen Klopp was annoyed after the Spurs game at the weekend, Marley. First time they've dropped points other than against Manchester City since the first game of 2022 in the Premier League. And it is a source of frustration because both he and Guardiola have said over the last few weeks that if we drop, they'll pounce. And that works on both ends of the scale. And he's kind of slightly rode back on his comments where he accused Spurs of being quite negative and defensive and saying that he's not a fan of that type of football and that type of tactical approach. And he basically has said that heat of the moment, not that he regrets it, but would he have maybe taken it back? Possibly. He just wants to move on and move forward. And they've got two finals coming up in the next couple of weeks. But as Niall said, it's not over, and it won't be over until the final day, and the two managers won't throw the towel in. But realistically, behind the scenes, is Klopp changing tact? Or is he just saying, we've got everybody back fit, Roberto Firmino should be fit tonight, which means a fully fit squad to pick from. Let's just go full throttle and hope and pray that City have a wobble.
Yeah, well, that's all they can do, really. It's still not... It's not over by any means. I think the narrative in this sort of start of the week has been, oh, well, City will go and win it now, and look, they're going to go and get Haaland, and they're going to win it for the next 5 or 6 years easily, and all the rest of it. And I still think there's a little bit of twists and turns left to go. I can't see Villa touching Liverpool tonight at all. Like Niall said, I wouldn't bet against Liverpool scoring 4 against Aston Villa. At home, you know, it's a huge opportunity for them. And when the goal difference has been swung so much by Liverpool, by Man City battering Newcastle at the weekend, you know, it's that was a huge thing. You know, City didn't let up there in... it's at Villa Park, isn't it? But I still wouldn't back Liverpool to not score for Villa Park. But, you know, it is what it is. City beating Newcastle at the weekend is you know, they didn't give up till the last minute because they knew, and that's why Guardiola was so happy at the end when Grealish and Sterling combined for that goal at the end. You know, it was one of them where you looked at it and gone, like, Pep's absolutely like delighted with that goal because of the goal difference. He can now put that table pressure on Man City, on Liverpool because they're 3 points and 4 goals ahead of them. So it's another little another thing to just chip away at them with, because I think Liverpool had the biggest test this past weekend just gone and failed it by not winning. And then, you know, Man City have pounced, so it's any small advantage is massively amplified at this stage of the season. And we're seeing that now. We're sort of overanalyzing everything and saying, you know, will Gerrard do anything against Liverpool tonight against his old club? But realistically, probably not, because Villa are a mid-table team. They've lost, I think, something like 5 out of the last 7 games or something like that. And Liverpool should roll them over pretty easy, and we're back to where we were, type of thing.
They're not going to win 7-2 like they did a couple of years ago, are they? That's just not going to happen.
I think that's a pretty safe bet. I'd be absolutely shocked.
Yeah, I would be as well. But I was just looking at the statistics whilst Marley was talking there, and I think there's no doubt Liverpool will score tonight. I think they've only failed to score in one away game this season in the Premier League, and that was when they lost 1-0 at Leicester. And they've scored 41 away Premier League goals this season, which is third to only their title-winning campaign in the 40s, and then in 2013-14 when they finished second, and that famous Steven Gerrard moment where he slipped up, and then Crystal Palace coming back. So, you know, on their travels, Liverpool are still formidable. So I fancy them to score a few tonight.
I want to ask Niall about Liverpool and their starting lineup heading into what's going to be a busy couple of weeks. FA Cup final against Chelsea this weekend, and then heading off to Paris to take on Real Madrid in the Champions League. Klopp has changed and rotated over the last couple of weeks. He's rarely picked an exactly identical starting lineup in back-to-back games. Given the fact that this is, again, no disrespect to Villa, a trip to a mid-table Premier League side that Liverpool are more than expected to go and win, will his lineup tonight maybe give us a bit of a hint of what the team will be to face Chelsea, and then potentially further down the line, who will be in line to take on Real Madrid?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, as the old cliche goes, you don't get a trophy for finishing second. There's no prizes for finishing second, but if you can lift an FA Cup and a Champions League, it's a far more tangible achievement, and it adds a couple of pots to the trophy cabinet at Anfield, which is already swollen, of course, due to the club's success over the years. And I think that we will see a changed team tonight. You're right, Fergal. He seems to do that a lot, Jurgen Klopp, and I think he'll do it again. I think some of the signings they've made have been excellent. I mean, if you think about the likes of Diogo Jota, who can't seem to get in the team at the moment because, you know, you've got Diaz, Mane and Salah just kind of firing on all cylinders. And, you know, then you've got Jota to bring off the bench. I mean, Firmino, I mean, Origi obviously hasn't been the consistent success that people would have liked him to be, but in big games he comes up with big moments. But for me, it's at the back. I think the issues that they had last season with injuries and problems with defenders, and Virgil van Dijk being out and Gomez being out and Matip being injury prone, they've gone and signed Ibrahima Konate, who I think's been a really good addition, and he's adapted very well to the Premier League. He's quick, he's strong. I mean, it's what you want for a centre back, to have the
goal
pace that Konate
well.
has. It's frightening. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the other person that he kind of reminds me of is Wesley Fofana, albeit he's much bigger than Fofana. But Fofana, across the ground, is one of the quickest central defenders I've seen in the Premier League in years. And Konate as well is also very good at eating up ground quickly. So if you're talking about players looking to make runs in behind, I'm not sure who will start up front for Villa tonight. I presume it'd be Watkins, but he's someone who likes to try and run in behind and kind of occupy defenders and cause some problems that way. I think Konate would be a really good matchup from a Liverpool perspective, defending against Watkins. So yeah, I think we will see a changed side. You know, even Jordan Henderson hasn't been getting many starts recently, if I'm right in thinking, particularly in the big games. So maybe he'll come back into the side. So yeah, I do think we'll see a change up and then a stronger team for the FA Cup final against Chelsea, Fergal. Yeah.
Call this for us before we take a break. Marley, give us a result prediction, and most importantly, will Liverpool be top of the Premier League at the end of tonight?
I'm saying 4-0, and yes.
I'm going to go 4-1, so I think that would mean no, if I'm right in reading the table.
Yeah, that would mean no.
Yeah, that'd mean they get just squeezed out, so okay. There'd be a goal behind.
I think Villa will score, so 4-1.
Okay, pretty comprehensive. I'm going to go 3-0. So I'm going to kind of agree with Niall and say they'll just be a little bit short at the end of play tonight. But it should be pretty straightforward for Liverpool against Aston Villa. Maybe Steven Gerrard will do them a favour. Maybe he'll slip over again and help them out. But hopefully it's going to be an interesting game at Villa Park and a big one in the title race. Right, we're going to grab a quick break on Football Social Daily. After the break, we're keeping up the title chat. Pep versus Klopp. They've been needling each other once again. Jurgen's not happy. Pep's not happy. We're going to be discussing all of that in just a sec.
Football Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Football Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Football Social Daily Tuesday edition. We are keeping up the Manchester City-Liverpool title chat on today's podcast. Marley, Pep and Klopp are not happy. And more importantly, Pep is not happy because the whole of the country and the media, so that means you, me and Niall, apparently, we're all in on this secret pact that no one's even bothered to tell us about, that we all want, keep it to yourself, we all want Liverpool to win the league. Now, I didn't get the email about this. Niall, I don't know if you forgot to CC me into this one, but I didn't get the email that all of the media in the UK and the country want Liverpool to win the Premier League this season. But Pep Guardiola, mastermind that he is, has cracked the code. I am only joking, but I'm also kind of serious. Pep Guardiola, in his press conference yesterday, said that everyone in this country supports Liverpool. The media, everybody. Of course, because Liverpool have got an incredible history in European competition, but not afraid to stick the knife in. He said they don't in the Premier League because they've only won one in 30 years. But apparently, that's not a problem at all. So he is having a little crack at Liverpool. I want to get your take on this, Marley. Is he being serious or is he just on the wind-up? Because we listen to this, we work in football, we're football fans. I don't get this. So I can only assume that Pep Guardiola is deliberately trying to take the mick or he's just completely out of touch.
Yeah, it was an interesting quote, wasn't it? I didn't expect him to do it, especially after, you know, winning the game the weekend. And usually people get a bit tetchy after they've dropped points, for example. But, you know, as if like Klopp did against Spurs when he came out and had a dig at them and then he took it back a couple of days later, something like a heat of the moment type thing. But yeah, this was. I did enjoy the bit at the end when he said he made a dig at Liverpool only making one league title in 30 years. I thought that was completely uncalled for, but therefore funny, because I do like it when managers have a bit of needle. And when City play Liverpool, it's all very handshaky and huggy and, oh, your team's brilliant, no, your team's brilliant. And then, you know, 30 games into the season, when it's all coming down to it, they start having a little pop at each other. And it's funny because it reminds you of the days of Ferguson and Wenger, who genuinely absolutely hated each other. And it has that little throwback of everyone just back in the sort of early 2000s and late 90s, just where anything really went, really.
Do you know what? For me, that is the most Mourinho thing that Guardiola has ever said. It's like you could see that quote on a piece of paper and say, which top elite manager in world football said this? And everyone would go, oh, Mourinho, straight away.
Yeah, I mean, Mourinho's highlights of spats with managers is just hilarious if you don't take it too seriously. I mean, he poked Tito Villain over in the eye, for God's sake, in an El Clasico. The absolute madman. But yeah, I enjoyed the quote, to be fair. I quite liked it. It's completely wrong. Therefore, I don't really know why he said it. I think I do know why he said it, actually, because with the media sort of way, Man City do get a lot of stick, and it is for the whole checkbook, blah blah blah. You've bought the league and you've bought all these players, and obviously you're gonna win the league because you got the best players, you got the best manager, and I understand that obviously gets tiring, and Guardiola will definitely be thinking, like, you know, what's, you know, I'm winning the league here. I've won, you know, 4 out of 5 league titles if they win the league this year. You know, he's built one of the best Premier League sides ever, and he probably wants a bit more credit. But I think the English way and the English mentality is to always try and bring someone down when they're at the top. And I think that's what we're seeing from the media, because, you know, we've seen it. We're probably going to talk about it in a bit, and I'll make the point later on. But the thing about Haaland, you know, everyone's the narrative is, oh, they don't need Haaland, or they're ruining football by signing him. But, you know, it's their prerogative. You know, they can go and sign who they want. And it's the same with the league. You know, I think we're seeing it from media outlets and all sorts of stuff, where they slightly favour Liverpool because there's this narrative that Liverpool haven't spent money, and it's just wrong. Like, Liverpool have spent money, not quite as much as Man City, but there's not much in it. And I think it's getting to Guardiola, because it will get through the gaps. It will seep through into their mindset of, you know, they won't be oblivious to the fact that people are saying, oh, well, Liverpool have built a team from, you know, from scratch. They had Ricky Lambert and Mario Balotelli. When Klopp came in, he had to ditch them all, and Milner and Lallana and Lovren and Klein and all these players. Whereas Man City's team, it wasn't exactly brilliant when Guardiola came in. It needed a lot of work. It was the oldest squad in the Premier League at the time. So there is still sort of a comparison there that isn't being made really in the media. I do think there is a lot of people who favour Liverpool, but I mean, judging from our podcast, I don't know about you guys, but out of the two of them, I'd rather see City win the league. But that's just me, and I don't think I'm in the minority there. I think most people would prefer City to win the league than Liverpool. But that would depend on who you ask, I suppose. Because if you ask a Man United fan, I think he'd rather just, you know, get relegated than any of them happen. But it's just one of them things where a manager will see it from everyone's attacking him and his club. Like, he'll see the negatives, he won't see as much positives, because negative headlines get more clicks and get more views and stuff like that. But it's a strange one, because I certainly don't think that the general man in the street wants Liverpool to win the league over Man City.
Niall, where do you stand on this? Because from a media perspective, and we joked about this before we started recording, that most pundits for BT, for Sky Sports, for BBC, etc., are made up of players who retired, say, 15, 20, maybe a little bit longer, years ago. And they're the best teams in Liverpool and Manchester United. You've got Michael Owen, Steve McManaman, Roy Keane, Paul Scholes, Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher. The reason Manchester City are not as representative is because they weren't as successful. Now, looking at this idea that the national mood is in favour of Liverpool, according to Guardiola, but not according to Marley, I find myself kind of falling down in the cracks a little bit here, because I find City quite difficult to warm to. I think Pep Guardiola is an incredible manager. They're a brilliant team. But I find the whole City operation quite difficult to warm to. Now, there's justifiable criticism of where City have made their money, how they're financed, etc. That is a portion of that. But I just think so much about them. I get why Man City fans are obviously fanatical about them. But for me, as non-Liverpool fan, non-City fan, I don't really get on board with that. And in terms of the country's mood towards Liverpool, I was chatting to a couple of Liverpool fans about this yesterday, and they said the very strong point, which is that come to Anfield and listen to the away ends, the songs that they sing, the negative criticism that they make online about Liverpool, and tell me that they want Liverpool to win the league. And I'm probably edging towards that more, because I don't see any sort of pro-Liverpool sentiment. They're one of the few grounds in the country where fans come and sing these really disgusting songs. But yet, according to Pep Guardiola, everyone outside of Manchester Blue wants them to win the Premier League title.
Yeah, I get that. And I suppose there's a few comments to make on that. I mean, you can either take Pep's comments literally or figuratively. And, you know, it's up to you as an individual how you assess the words that Guardiola delivered. I think in terms of coming to Anfield and listening to away ends, well, all 19 teams that pitch up at Anfield are not going to sing pro-Liverpool songs. So I'm not sure that would be the best example to use in my opinion.
But they do sing anti-Liverpool.
Yeah, but it's no different to when they go to Manchester United or when they go to Chelsea or when they go to Tottenham and they sing songs about, you know, their history and their heritage. And I think Chelsea's a good example to use, to be honest, Fergal, because it's exactly like what Marley said. There's this British thing, in my opinion, where whoever's on top, you really want to knock them off their perch and see someone else take their crown. I don't know why that is. It just feels like it's a mentality that's ingrained within the English game and indeed in English culture in other ways, which I won't go into now. But when I was younger, Manchester United were the best team in the country. They were by far the team that won the most trophies. They had the best players. Where I grew up, most people supported the team that I supported, but the ones that didn't were either Manchester United fans or Chelsea fans. And, you know, when Chelsea came along, everyone hated them because they had paid into this this method of success, which was financed by a rich Russian who had come in, spent loads of money, signed the best players within one or two seasons. They had the best manager, the best team, and they were winning the Premier League title. You know, it was the same thing with Manchester United when they were winning everything. All people wanted to do was see them fail. And I think it's the same happening now with Manchester City. And you're absolutely right. There are legitimate questions as to whether the money that they have in terms of the investment in the club is legitimate or not. I mean, that's not for me to get into, but I certainly think that there are understandable questions around that in the media. It's quite incessant, and I can understand why City fans get frustrated by it, because it is all the time. Every time they're doing well, it's not about the football, it's about why they're being successful. And you don't get those questions as much with Liverpool. It's more, you know, the Liverpool model is organic and the City model is manufactured, and I can understand why that would frustrate Manchester City supporters. But I think it's one of those things where you can either take what he said literally and think, well, no, of course 50% of the country aren't wanting, or 100% of the country are wanting Liverpool to win the title, because that's ridiculous. Because you've got the whole of Manchester, and I'll tell you now, United fans would rather City win the title than Liverpool. There's no question. You've got all of the other teams that would rather see Liverpool fail. Everton, for a big example. There are many other teams as well. So I certainly don't think that's the case. I mean, you know, I certainly think that Pep Guardiola's comments are probably a bit misjudged. He's probably just feeling a little bit dejected by the media coverage. And, you know, we hear stories about how Guardiola doesn't read the press. Of course he reads the press. He knows exactly what's going on. I'm sure he's informed by people on social media. I'm sure, I mean, because it happens all the time where you try and stay away from it and then someone will send you a WhatsApp saying, oh, have you seen what the newspaper has said about you? And it happens in all walks of life in football, whether that be, you know, the general run-of-the-mill fan that goes to a game occasionally, or one of the best managers to grace the game. You know, people do find out these things that are said about them in the media. So I don't know whether I agree with him. I certainly don't give a monkey's who wins the Premier League title. It's nothing to do with me, really. And I think that actually, if you're a sort of person that feels like you need to make your bed and put your eggs in a certain basket, are you City or are you Liverpool? I really don't care who wins the Premier League. I support Portsmouth. It's just nothing to do with me. And I'm sure that there are many other football fans around the country that feel the same way as I do, which is whoever wins it wins it. And yeah, there are question marks as to who won it and why they won it and what the problems were and what the issues weren't, but that is football. That that is the modern game now, and for me it's a case of another installment in the tete-a-tete between Pep and Klopp. They seem to have a lot of respect for each other, and now it's starting to transcend into the media with a little bit of kind of to-ing and fro-ing with quotes back and forth, and Klopp suggesting that Tottenham are a you know, kind of a defensive team when they have world-class players, and Guardiola saying that everyone wants Liverpool to win. I think we're just at the pressure end of the season, Fergal, where people are starting to say things in the heat of the moment, and maybe that is being exaggerated a little bit too much and inflated a bit too much in the back pages.
There's an interesting poll BBC Football have done this morning, and I think Pep Guardiola has been clicking away in his house, because as it stands, according to a poll on the back of Guardiola's comments on who do you want to win the Premier League, it's 55% for Liverpool and 45% for Manchester City. Now, we don't know if Pep Guardiola has been voting like mad this morning for Liverpool to win the Premier League, but that is an interesting little topic.
You know, you take the comments literally, there are more Liverpool fans in the world than there are City fans. There are more Liverpool fans in the United Kingdom than there are City fans. That is a stone cold fact. So, you know, you can take it literally and say more people want Liverpool to win the league. Well, yeah, probably, because there's more Liverpool fans. The rest of us probably don't really care who it is.
I think our little podcast here, Football Social Daily, is a wonderful microcosm of why that is not the case, because I don't think, other than Steve McNaughton, I don't think anybody has come on the podcast and said they want Liverpool to win the league. So I really think Pep is just on the wind-up. I honestly do. And as it stands, they're going to win the Premier League, or they're going to defend the Premier League, and he'll be proved wrong, because Liverpool won't win the Premier League title. But we're going to wrap it up for part two of Pep versus Klopp, part two of the podcast, and part two of their little row in the end of season running. After the break, we're continuing the theme of Manchester City. We're leaving Liverpool alone, and we're talking transfers. Erling Haaland is on the verge of joining Manchester City, but like the rest of us, he seems to be trapped at Manchester Airport. Hopefully Haaland can get through passport control as quickly as possible and get unveiled as Man City's new man up top. All that to come in just a sec.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Football's Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
Welcome back to Tuesday's edition of the Football Social Daily. As always, you know the drill by now. If you hit subscribe up the top, you can get access to a brand new show every single day. All the way until the end of the campaign, we will be with you every step of the way. Previews, reviews, action, analysis, everything you need to keep right up to date with the Premier League. Right, we're going to wrap up today's show, Niall, with Erling Haaland's move to Manchester City. Now, this was touched on a bit on yesterday's podcast, but we now know a bit more information, and we now know that the deal is pretty much done. As it stands, his release clause at Borussia Dortmund, which is estimated at about £65 million, has been met by Manchester City. A huge salary package is being put together to bring him to English football. But the biggest one for me is just his goal record. It is absolutely crazy. Based on the last two seasons, 61 goals in 66 Bundesliga games and 85 goals in 88 games across all competitions. He's an absolute goal machine. Are you confident that he's going to replicate that in the Premier League next season?
Yeah, I think he will. Maybe not to the extent of, you know, 30 goals a season, but I think he'd definitely be up and around 20 goals a season. He's like a lab project, isn't he? You know, it's like he's been made in a laboratory. You know, you've got football scientists putting a little bit of Ibrahimovic in there, you know, a little bit of his old man in there, you know, kind of shaking it all up in a test tube and then seeing what comes out. And, the product is a superstar 21-year-old who looks like he's ready and hungry to rip the Premier League to shreds. And, you know, we know Manchester City have been playing without a striker, without a bona fide number nine. They've been playing this false nine system. They wanted Harry Kane last summer. They couldn't get him. Daniel Levy was stubborn and said, no, he's not for sale. And so what they've done is they've turned their attention elsewhere. And whether they would have signed Erling Haaland, regardless, had the Harry Kane deal not fallen through, is anyone's guess, really. Imagine if City had signed Harry Kane and he had been firing on all cylinders this season for them. would they have still gone in for Erling Haaland? Who knows? Because everyone knew this sort of 60, 70 million euro release clause was up for grabs this summer. And looks like Manchester City are the ones who have triggered that and successfully brought him to East Manchester. So, yeah, I think he will be an excellent addition. I do think it's worth remembering that even some of the best strikers we've seen in Premier League history that have come from foreign shores, I'm thinking Didier Drogba, for example, took him at least a season to kind of settle into his stride, and then he became Mourinho's, you know, premier weapon to win titles for Chelsea. There are other examples as well of strikers who have come from overseas that haven't quite done it. I don't think Erling will be that sort of character. I think he's in tune enough with the English game, having seen his dad play. He was born in Leeds. He is an admirer of Leeds. He's watched Manchester City matches. He knows, I think, what to expect in the Premier League. And I think the confidence levels this young man has is what sets him apart. He is very close to arrogant. He's straggling that borderline, isn't he, between brash and arrogant and confident. And he is supremely confident. So, yeah, he reminds me of Ibrahimovic almost in a way. Not just in the physicality of him. You know, he's quite a tall lad. He's relatively strong. He's very quick for his size. And he plays in a similar position. But also the mentality. You know, you've heard Ibrahimovic come up with some strange quotes, like, you know, into the lion's den and all of these sorts of things. You know, he's got these tattoos over his body, and, you know, he's got the long hair, and he's just a character, a persona. And I think Erling Haaland will quickly become that for Manchester City. It's a genuinely exciting signing for City. They've signed some real top players in the past, but I saw someone on social media say this, and I totally agree with it. When they signed Kevin De Bruyne, you had pundits on Sky Sports saying 50 million quid for this lad from Wolfsburg. Is that a joke? You know, when they signed Sergio Aguero, he was a decent striker from Atletico Madrid, but he wasn't the superstar that he became. With this signing, Manchester City are signing someone who is already a genuine talent, a genuine superstar. And I'm trying to rack my brains and think the last time that City signed someone who was already legitimately one of the best players in the world. What Pep does very well and what City do well is they go and find players who are decent, and then they arrive and then they become world beaters. In this instance, I think this is the opposite. I think they are going into the market and buying someone who is already pre-packed, ready-made, a genuine superstar. And I think that's what makes this so exciting.
Looking at what Haaland's expected to do at Manchester City, Marley, from a team perspective, since Pep Guardiola's come into Manchester City, they've been dominant in the Premier League. Three Premier League titles, potentially a fourth this season, four League Cups, an FA Cup, but the holy grail, or the black cloud hanging over Pep Guardiola's head, is the Champions League. They've only had one final appearance under him since he came to English football. And this is where so much of the focus comes for Erling Haaland. Because you look at Manchester City's record in the Premier League this season, and obviously the failed pursuit of Harry Kane was a big focus last summer, but they haven't really dropped off in terms of points that have been dropped. They've lost three games so far this season. That's likely to stay the same until the end of the campaign. That'd be the second lowest since Pep Guardiola came in. 29 wins if they stay on a winning run between now and the end of the season. That's the first time they've got to that number since 2019. There's not really any more they can do in the Premier League. The points that they've dropped are generally par for the course, even when you are the best team in England. But bringing Haaland in with the pressure on his shoulders of go and winners, the Champions League, I think is a dangerous precedent. I think Erling Haaland is a brilliant player and he'll smash in lots of goals for Manchester City. But saying to this guy, come and winners the Champions League, when Sergio Aguero, Yaya Toure, Kevin De Bruyne, all of these incredible players have not won it, is a bold move for Guardiola to make.
It is, yeah. It's a gamble. My theory is that he's sick of losing and not scoring against Crystal Palace, so he's bringing him in to score against Crystal Palace in the Premier League.
That is a life of excess. Yeah.
I mean, he just can't get past Mark Gay and Tyrick Mitchell, so bringing him in. But no, I take your point. I know what you're saying. It's a big gamble. It's a big price to pay and all the rest of it, but ultimately, I think Man City have got the team that they've got, and they've still got a gaping hole in it, and that is a striker. It works most weeks without a striker because they're just that good. If you have 70% possession or close to that number every week, someone's going to score at some point, whether it's Sterling, Mahrez, Foden, Jesus, Grealish, De Bruyne, even Rodri's got 6 frigging Premier League goals this season, which is madness considering, I mean, I was watching the game at the weekend, Rodri's got 6 Premier League goals, Callum Wilson's got 6 all season for Newcastle and he's our top scorer. So that sums up how many he's chipping in with. So basically the point is they get goals from everywhere. But in the big games, I do think they've lacked a bit of cutting edge. I think even when they had Aguero, when Aguero was struggling to break teams down, which is very rarely, of course, but when it happened, I always thought they lacked a bit of height in the box. And I think this is the biggest thing Haaland's going to bring them, because if every time Man City score a goal, it's never that I can't even remember one from a cross. I just remember now Jesus's goal against Watford, but again, it's Watford, isn't it? So, you know, it's if you have a target man in there who can outjump defenders, as well as a guy who can go in, who can sprint in behind, who's strong, and everything like Haaland's got, he's got the full package. I think you add another facet to your game. I think you can start crossing balls in from deeper and causing more problems like that. And whether we see that or not, we'll have to wait and see if he hits the ground running or what have you. But I mean, the guy is available to plug a gap which Man City clearly think they've got, and they're signing him and they're signing Alvarez in the summer as well. And I just think you know, it's going to take them to another level, and obviously that other level is winning the Champions League before Pep Guardiola calls it a day in England and maybe goes somewhere else to try something different. But I think he's the perfect player for City. He's, as Niall said, he's almost like the best in class. He's the best available striker out there. And he's the next generation of strikers as well, which tend to have, I mean, strikers in the past had height and strength, or they had pace, and the modern day strikers are starting to bridge that gap. You see Haaland and Darwin Nunez are both 6'2", 6'3", and they're rapid, they're quicker than anyone across the ground. So, I mean, this kid's like a robot. He's an absolute freak of a player. When you see him run, it's so strange. It's like being chased by the Terminator. If you were running away, he's an absolute freak. But
it's his age as well, Marley, because he's 21. So you're talking sort of 6-7 years of him being at peak level, which is crazy. Like, if you went and bought someone like Tammy Abraham, for example, who's having a brilliant season for Roma, he's 25. So, like, already you've kind of got 4 years on someone who's still considered a young striker in Abraham, because Haaland's only 21.
Exactly. It's a scary prospect for anyone else in the Premier League, but that is what it is. You know, City have got the money. They've clearly got a plan to get away from financial fair play, if that is coming in. You know, they've got the wiggle room in the budget to not be affected by that, and they've got the lawyers to get them out of it as well, as they've proved in the past. There it is. You know, if you've got the money, go and spend it.
Here's something for you, lads. I'm just on Haaland's Wikipedia page, and it says who he cites as his inspirations. Can you guess who they might be? There are 4 players on here. I wonder if you can guess who they are. No, they're not Zlatan.
There's going to be a weird Man City connection. Is that right?
So one's Cristiano Ronaldo.
Steven Ireland.
No, one's Cristiano. One's Robin Van Persie. One's a recent one, which is Jamie Vardy, because he says he's been studying Jamie Vardy's movement in behind the defence, which I've heard him say recently. So Ronaldo, Vardy and Van Persie. The other one is a Premier League cult hero from a few years ago.
Oh, I know it. Michu.
It is Michu, yeah.
He loves Michu. He met him about a year ago or something. He met him and he was buzzing. He was genuinely so happy. I think it was because he was tall and left-footed and scored goals. And he was like, that's me.
Yeah, Miguel Perez Cuesta. Michu, what a legend.
I think it's fair to say Crystal Palace, you've been warned. Michu part 2 is on his way. You've been well warned. Before we wrap up, I do have a little bit of trivia to throw back at you both. Now, we don't have time for a Jim Salverson bells and whistles quiz, and this is a very short quiz because it's only got one question, so it's the shortest quiz on earth. So I'm going to throw this over to both of you, get you to have a little guess at this one. If Erling Haaland completes his move to Manchester City and scores 20 or more Premier League goals, as we probably expect him to do, who was the last or most recent player to score 20 or more Premier League goals in their first season in the Premier League?
Oh, that's a tough one.
So they have one guess each. Whoever wants to go first, go for it.
I wouldn't even know where to start. Oh, Van Persie.
Okay, you're on Robin Van Persie.
I was going to say Mo Salah, but then I remembered he had a couple of games at Chelsea, didn't he? Before he came back, so it won't be him.
That's muddied the statistics.
So, first season. Oh my gosh. Do they have to have signed from abroad, or can it just be their first season? I don't know, because I was thinking like Andy Cole maybe in like the early days when he used to score loads of goals for fun.
Way more recent.
Oh my gosh. 20 goals in a Premier League season. Let me guess and think. Oh, my mind's gone here. I'm trying to think who's good. Who are good teams? Jota.
Come on. Diogo Jota and Robin Van Persie. Right, well, you're both wrong. Now, I know Jim gives second chances, so I'm going to give a second chance and I'm going to give you a couple of clues.
I need a clue before I have a second chance. We'll be here all day.
So the season it happened in was 2014-15. It was this player's first season in the Premier League and they had moved from abroad. They played three seasons
in
the Premier
League. It's not Meet You Again, is it?
It's not Meet You Again. No. They played three seasons in the Premier League and they only played for one team and they scored 20 goals exactly in 14-15 and then they scored 20 goals exactly again in 16-17. Now that's all the clues I can really give away to you. Marley, go on.
I'm having a terrible week on the quizzes. I was
14-15 and 16-17, 20 goals per season.
7 and 5 years ago.
I think I know who it is.
4 and score 10 years ago.
Bloody hell.
I've got a guess.
Okay, we'll let Marley go. Go on. Come on, Marley.
I don't know. I really don't know. Aguero.
Niall.
I'm going to go for Diego Costa.
That's wrong.
Correct. Diego Costa, 20 goals in his first season at Chelsea after joining from Atletico Madrid. Yep, he got 20 goals exactly in 14-15, 12 in 15-16, and then 20 again in 16-17. And considering what an absolute lunatic he is, I think 52 Premier League goals in 89 Premier League games is not a bad return.
Do you know what I nearly said before on the first, when we were trying to get it the first time? I said in my head and I nearly said it out loud, it definitely won't be a Chelsea striker.
He scored 50 and 90 in the Premier League for Chelsea and he's only 33 and he's still without a club apparently. Madness.
There you go. If Haaland falls through, City, Pep, you know who to call. Costa needs a job and he's a guaranteed goals man. Right, that's it. We're going to wrap it up for Tuesday's edition of the Football Social Daily. Niall, Marley, as always, thanks so much for your time.
Cheers
Fergal.
Great stuff indeed. As always, hit subscribe up the top on this episode and you can get access to a brand new show every single day. All the way between now and the end of the Premier League season, we are with you every step of the way. Thanks for listening and we'll speak to you soon.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.